Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 841. The topic is training, and the title is Topics from a Recent Client Session. Thought this would be a fun kind of topic to go through, a way to go through a podcast. I don't believe we've done one this way, but recently I had a training session with a client, and we just kind of went over some cool stuff. It's what I normally would do in a training session, and she made the comment that it's so fun to learn new things while I'm getting a workout. And what I thought was neat was it is true that any time I train a client, we always discuss the why. So if I'm going to ask them to do something, I'm always going to tell them why we're doing it. And I would just want to know that myself. So it just feels like a very natural way to do things. But as I've seen in the industry from here and there, like, not a lot of trainers do that. Not a lot of trainers explain why they're picking what they're picking. Some of it comes from lack of confidence. They don't really know why themselves. They're just following something program that somebody else wrote or something they saw on, you know, social media. And then also some of it is just people are not really fully invested into the education of the client. They're just kind of either getting in the session, they're just looking for the money, and or they don't want to lose the job security. So what's interesting for me is I actually have had clients quit working with me because they learned what they needed to learn and they felt kind of ready to go on their own. And that is the biggest compliment. That is also somewhat of a negative because I'm losing the income and stuff. Thankfully, I've been very, very blessed, very fortunate to have like a waiting list of some people I can call and just say, hey, were you still interested in that slot? And they are, so it kind of fills my time. So usually I only have open slots if I'm changing my time, like time of training due to different like life events or whatnot. So I'm very blessed in that way. So thank you to everybody who's helped help me get to that state and who works with me now. I really appreciate you and thank you so much for letting me live this life. But usually in my sessions, we always do the why. We always teach the why. And that's what I would encourage you to do if you are a trainer. And if you're working with a trainer, ask them. Ask them why you're doing what you're doing so that way you can learn and eventually you won't need the trainer. Or you just want the trainer because they're always presenting something fun and new. So I've had some in-person clients I've worked with for 3+ years, 4+ years. And it's fun. They know what they're doing. They just like the variety that I can bring them. They like having somebody else think it through and put it together. So there's a lot of other benefits than just the what of what you're doing. So if you're a trainer and you think, oh man, I don't know if I'm going to do that, I might lose my clients, you're going to gain way more in reputation than you ever will lose in a client or two leaving here or there. So I'd still very much recommend it. It's been something that's helped me stay in business for 10 years at this gym. I've been a trainer for 19 years, but having Brutal Iron Gym, like, I made it and created it myself, and the only reason why it's been able to sustain is because I teach people what they want to know, and that generates word of mouth, generates results, generates excitement and happiness, and thankfully the gym's been able to grow, and also just kick-ass amazing members and people along the way. But understanding the why of what we do is very important. It helps us with motivation, helps us with just like better execution, so that way we know the purpose, the understand the benefits, understand the importance, things like that. So let's go through this particular training session and let's see what we talked about, and I'll help you guys learn it along the way. Cool. Okay. So the first thing we talked about actually with the client was what is called a mechanical drop set. So this client is a younger female. Now she's late teens-ish. And what we did is we went through what was called a mechanical drop set. She has worked out before with her parents and she understands what drop sets are. She understands kind of regular exercise concepts. So I always try to teach her something fun and new, and I'm always trying to teach her conceptual stuff so that way she not only knows, like, instead of rather memorizing, you know, these two exercises equal this outcome, why did these two exercises equal that outcome? And then she can then plug in any exercises she wants, no matter what gym she's at, for the entire rest of her life. So I'd much rather teach her concepts than specific like memorization type things. So we went through the concept of a mechanical drop set. A typical term that people would have learned with the word drop set is just a regular drop set. where I'll maybe do 10 reps of something with 50-pound dumbbells, and then I reach like fatigue and I can't do it anymore. So I'll put the 50-pound dumbbells down, and maybe I'll pick up 35-pound dumbbells, and I can get another 5 or 10 reps, maybe even 15 reps. There's a million ways to structure drop sets to where you can do multiple drops, you can do single drops, you can do heavy-based strength training drops. You can do strength plus mass or mass only. You can do mass plus endurance or endurance only. You can do strength plus endurance only or strength only or mass only or whatever the hell you want. So there's a million ways to do drop sets. And what she knows that, she's played around with that, and we're still like learning and developing all those different ways of doing drop sets. But a fun categorical one is a mechanical drop set. What this means is instead of dropping the weight used, so instead of doing something for 50 pounds for 10 reps and then having to drop to 35 pounds in order to continue to do more repetitions, instead of dropping in weight, we change our positioning. I want to keep the focus on the same muscle group, but I change the positioning or the exercise that I'm doing to target that muscle. So if we think of this just in a broad scope, is there are exercises for specific muscles. And some of them are hard, some of them are easy. For example, a chest fly is harder to do than a chest press. You can't fly as much weight as you can press. But since I know chest flies are harder and chest presses are easier, and they both still target my chest, I could do 10 repetitions of chest flies, and it doesn't even have to be 10. You would just do a set of repetitions of chest flies until you felt like you reached fatigue and the form was going to break. Well, instead of just stopping and the chest no longer getting any more stimulus, you can switch over from flies to presses. You are now introducing the usage of the triceps, but the chest is still involved. So rather than the chest reaching failure with flies and then stopping, like it might normally be used to, you can go from flies directly into presses. That continues the damage into the chest. That continues a degree of stress probably above what the chest is used to. That's going to then create a greater change response. If we follow that up with proper sleep and food, we get the greater change made. So that's one example where I go from an easier exercise, a harder exercise for a specific muscle, to an easier exercise for a specific muscle. So the same muscle feels targeted in both movements, but you go from one feeling miserably hard into the next one probably still feeling miserably hard, but you'll still be able to do it because it is an easier movement. What I had this client do was for their shoulders. We did dumbbell lateral raises into dumbbell upright rows. They're both for the shoulders, if you do them correctly. If you do them correctly, they're both for the shoulders. But typically, we can't lateral raise as much weight as we can row. So if I do lateral raises until I reach good form failure, but instead of stopping, I just switch it right over to a dumbbell row, I can develop better shoulders because I can create a greater degree of stimulus for change in the shoulders. So rather than me having to do dumbbell lat raises for a million sets or having to try to use heavier weight but shit form, I can just go from dumbbell lat raises into upright rows. And that creates an awesome, amazing stimulus for shoulder change. Then another example we did in the training session was cable seated rows. Now we have an attachment called a lat saw from Spud Inc. If you don't know what Spud Inc. is, it's a company that makes like different training devices, but a lot of it's cloth material. It's like nylon, like thick, heavy-duty stuff. And it's like belts and straps for sleds and a lot of like just different accessories that are super helpful. I have like probably 20, 30 of their products. It's awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. But they make really good stuff. They make this one thing called a lat saw, which is kind of like a long metal blade, and it has a bunch of notches in it. Now, they're not sharpened to a point where they'll actually saw you, but it looks like a saw. But what it is it's, we'll just say it's like 3 feet wide. You attach a cable to the middle of it, so you have a foot and a half sticking out on the left and the right. And in it, you have notches to where you would put a handle. Well, some of the notches are super wide, some of the notches are super narrow. So what we were doing is we had our D-ring handles, like which are just regular cable handles, in the notches. She was doing a wide kind of angled underhand grip for cable seated rows. We would do that to good form failure. Then we would take the handles and move them to narrower notches, and she would do an angled overhand grip. That's a stronger position. So we would use the exact same weight for both positions. But since we didn't have to decrease in weight, we were able to push that stimulus harder and harder. So for example, one of the downsides of a regular traditional drop set is you have to decrease weight load. That decreases the heaviness of the stimulus. That's great for kind of muscle damage and muscle endurance, but it's not that great for strength because you're actually reducing weight load. So if I want to mix in more strength and muscle damage, doing a mechanical drop set is a little better because I can use a heavier weight load. Over time, that's going to give me a greater volume in my training, and it's going to give me a greater response. So that was kind of the first concept we went through, was mechanical drop sets. We did them with dumbbell ladder raises into upright rows, then cable seated rows with a wide angled underhand grip into a narrow angled overhand grip. And if you don't have the lats on, stuff like that, you can play with this concept. All you're really looking to do is to try to find a hard way to do an exercise for a muscle group, and then move right into an easy way to do an exercise for a muscle group. Now, what's different than just a superset would be if I was changing equipment. So if I'm going from a dumbbell exercise to a machine exercise, that's not really a mechanical drop set. That's just a superset. That's where you're just doing things back to back. So a mechanical drop set is typically you're using the exact same apparatus. You're just changing your position. It's the same apparatus, the same weight load. You're just changing positioning. So you're changing the mechanics of what you're doing. Therefore, it's a mechanical drop set. So that was cool. That was fun. We had a lot of good time doing that, and that was our upper body work. Then we went into lower body, and we talked about the concept of unilateral work, and specifically interdependent unilateral work and intradependent unilateral work. What this means is a lot of fun, is unilateral work, when you ask most people what that is, it's using one limb separate from another limb. So if I do a one-arm anything, it's unilateral because I'm doing one arm independent of my other arm. If I'm doing a one-leg thing, it's unilateral because I'm doing one leg independent of another leg. So, for example, reverse lunges or walking lunges is one leg, then one leg, then one leg, then one leg. So that's unilateral. Whereas a leg press is both legs are moving at the exact same time. Therefore, it's considered not unilateral. It's lateral. It's both of them. Not unilateral, it's both lateral. So we want to, I think bilateral, but I don't even use that phrase. It's just unilateral or it's not. So what we went through was there are some unilateral exercises where you're working one side and the other side is really inactive. It's not really doing anything. But then there are some unilateral exercises where you're using one side and it's anchoring off of the other side. So there's some where one limb works independent of the other. There's some where one limb works braced off of the other. So an example of this was we did single leg presses. Those are pretty much just one leg working at a time because we have a back rest, and you could argue that some of like the hip muscles cross from one hip to the other hip, so there's some bracing involved. But really, pretty much whenever you do a single leg press, you could flop around or move around the other leg if you wanted to. It doesn't really need to stay stable. It doesn't need to be braced. It's pretty much just one leg at a time. We then did uneven kettlebell stiff leg deadlifts. So we had couple different ways of doing them. One way would be to have, like, say, a 53-pound kettlebell in one hand and a 35-pound kettlebell in the other hand, and you're doing stiff leg deadlifts like you'd normally do. What happens is one side has to work harder than the other side, but they both have to work, so therefore they're anchoring off of each other in different ways and different types of stresses, but there's more interplay from one hip to the other hip. So, for example, I've worked with clients who have had offset hip tilts, where one side of the hip is tilted different than the other. And we wanted to address that for general back health, for general hip health, and just for better movement mechanics. Well, we would have to do a lot of interdependent, a lot of interplay unilateral work. So the one side of the hip has to anchor and pull off the other side, and that can, over time, bring those hips back to a more neutral positioning, assuming the actual anatomy isn't, you know, prohibitive in some way. But that was something we would do all the time, is kind of the use of interdependent versus intradependent, kind of where unilateral work, where one side has to play off the other side, or one side works and the other side isn't doing jack. Now, there are benefits to both kinds, so you don't have to necessarily exclusively do one versus the other, but it's something to be aware of, and I asked her to make sure that she mixed in different ones of different kinds in her training. So that way we got healthy hips and we got to address like a fun concept. It also helped her learn trying to figure out which of the lower body movements that she knew fit into which category. So that was something we covered, and that was a lot of fun. In our workout, she started actually kind of getting kind of tired and fatigued, and she was yawning and saying like, oh, I'm still here, I'm still excited, I'm just so tired, I'm so tired, I'm so worn out. And we talked about it, and here what had happened was she thought she had eaten before the workout enough to be fueled. Turns out she did not. So our workout was around noon. Her first and last meal before the workout was at 9 a.m. She didn't eat anything other than that 9 a.m. meal. So what I told her was, is what you ate got you to the workout. But what you ate did not get you through the workout. So we talked about different caloric loads for her needs and timing. So for example, if she got up at 7 a.m., she should eat within an hour or two of being awake. Okay, about, and like more so a goal towards an hour. So if she gets up at 7 a.m., she should eat around 8 a.m. She shouldn't wait much longer than that. And if she wants to fuel the workout, she wants to eat more directly before the workout. So if our workout is at noon, then maybe she'll eat about an hour to 30 minutes beforehand. And we talked about how if it's closer to the workout, it needs to be more glucose-based carbohydrates. If it's further away from the workout, it can be complex carbohydrates and even more mixed nutrients. So if you have a meal an hour and a half before the workout, you can even mix in some easier digesting fats into that meal, and it would be okay as well. But that's something we talked about, is pre-workout caloric loading and timing. What food should I have? At which times should I have them? So there's a different way to eat an hour and a half workout before the workout versus an hour before the workout versus 30 minutes versus 5 minutes. So we went through that, and that was really fun. She really enjoyed that, and she felt like she could come to our workout a little bit better prepared. So she has an accountability tracker and things that we do to interact with each other before between the workouts. But that gave her something fired up and feeling like she could be productive towards making a change to the next workout. Then what we did was, since she wasn't feeling super energetic, she decided that she'd rather just do upper body later in the day or tomorrow, the next day. So what we did is we said, okay, let's come up with a structure for upper body training, so that way you'll know what you're doing. So our structure was to do push, pull, core. Since it's upper body, we wanted to do something that she pushed away from herself, which is going to work your chest, the front of your shoulders, and your triceps. Then we wanted her to do something where she pulled something towards herself, which is going to work your back muscles, the back of your shoulders, and your biceps. So just pushing and pulling alone helps target pretty much every muscle of the upper body. Very few exceptions, but pretty much every muscle of the upper body. Then we wanted to add core work in, because we hadn't done it specifically in our programming workout together. So we talked about the benefits of different types of core. So, for example, in pushing exercises, there are parallel and perpendicular options. There are things we're pushing parallel with the line of our body, and there are different planes of body motions, such as sagittal and transverse and all these fancy terms, but most regular people aren't going to know that stuff, and they don't even need to know that stuff, so I kind of skip those fancy terms. So, we ask ourselves, am I pushing something parallel with my body, which would be an overhead press in most cases? Or am I pushing something perpendicular with my body, which is a chest press in most cases? Then in pull movements, there's parallel and perpendicular as well. So pull-ups and pull-downs are parallel with the line of our body, whereas rows are perpendicular to the line of our body. So I was telling her is make sure in her workouts that she blends the different angles of pushes and pulls and doesn't always repeat the same one. Then in our core training, there's movement versus anti-movement. So there's flexion and rotation core work, but then there's also anti-flexion and anti-rotation stabilization style core work. So we're talking about how she needs to do a mixture of those. And we went through an example of a variable angle wood chopper and stopper exercise with bands. What this is you can do wood choppers where it's kind of like a side twist against a band. And she would do, say, 10 side twists and then, like, do the action of a side twist and stop. And she would try to deal with the repercussions of the band trying to twist her and pull her and move her around. So that's why they're called stopper choppers and stoppers. And then, by doing variable angles, we got to stimulate different musculature within the core. So she had one set she had to do from above her head, one set from below, like around her feet, and then one set from the middle. And she would do a set of 10 rotations into one into five stoppers, where she would throw the band out and stop and try to deal with that recoiling and, you know, percussional type movement. But she would work within stopping, which is anti-movement. So that's what we went through in a single workout session. She got to learn mechanical drop sets, the explanations of them, the benefits of them, and actually do them. She got to learn the different styles of unilateral hip-based work, whether it's interdependent or intradependent, and she got to do them. Then we talked about pre-workout caloric loading and timing, and that way she could put that to use at her next workout. And we went over home workout options and actually structure that she can use for the rest of her life on how to put together a home workout for the upper body based on push, pull, and core. Okay, so that's a lot. That's a lot of fun stuff. I enjoy the in-person training sessions because it's a lot of just kind of whatever comes up in the moment comes up. I'll always have something pre-planned for the client, but I often let them just self-direct it. If they have a specific question and it fits our intended purposes, we'll roll with that and we'll make a workout out of whatever they had a question about. So I really, really, really enjoy those sessions because it's fun to just kind of dust off the cobwebs on some older things if they come up. It's also fun just to be creative in the moment and just learn with the person and kind of help them along the way. I love it, love it, love it. Very blessed to be able to do this for my life. So I thought that would be something fun to share because you, the listener, now got to learn about mechanical drop sets. You, the listener, now got to learn about different styles of unilateral work. Got to learn about timing issues, caloric loading issues, and also like a workout structure and just kind of the ideas behind picking push, pull, and core exercises. So hopefully that was helpful. Hopefully that was fun. If you're interested in kind of our programming option, but you're not an in-person person, you don't live in Rock Hill, South Carolina, or Charlotte, or the nearby areas, we do have monthly programming options. They're $50 a month. There's no contract. It includes nutrition programming paired with a goal, morning motivational messages, includes accountability tracking, free technique review for exercises, and unlimited educational support. It is a ridiculous amount of stuff for $50 a month. You're not going to find something equal. So if you're interested in that, you like the ideas that we present in this podcast, if you like the ideas that we've presented training-wise in all of our past podcasts, then let us know. If you're interested in the monthly programming, again, it's $50 a month. No contract. You can try a couple months in a row, then just save the programs, use them for the rest of your life. Okay? So if you're interested in that, just shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. You can always check out our website, which is www.brutalirongym.com. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for listening. If you do like today's podcast, make sure you click like on the podcast platform you're on. It helps our podcast be found better in searches. And then also, if you like the podcast itself, please share it on social media, text message, email to a friend, however you do it. The more we share the podcast, the more people we can help live their happiest and healthiest lives. Also, if you like this type of information, you can always find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd always, always, always love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. You can tell us at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. Well, as always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.